Life is interesting. The last 2 days I spent with my father, who has suffered a stroke and has permanent damage to the extent that the doctor thinks he will probably never be able to drive again, and probably he and mother cannot go back to the home place to live. Lifestyles are changing. Decisions have to be made. This morning, within this hour, Judy and I expect our fourth grandchild to be born. Our youngest daughter is in labor at Westside in Nashville, and I talked to her at 5 till 10, and she said the doctor expects the baby to be here within the hour. Life is interesting. We covet your prayers, and being able to support one another and know that God is there helps us on those times that are difficult and those times that are precious. And as much as both of these situations mean to me personally, and as much as I'm concerned, I think we ought to be even more concerned about those in the audience this morning who need to have a change in lifestyle, who need to repent, maybe some publicly, and all of us to some extent privately, and making our mistakes right and serving God in the right way. Some may need to be rededicated and restored. Change in lifestyle. And as important as the birth of this specific baby is to Judy and us and our family, it is really more important for some of you to be born within this hour. To be born again, born into the family of God. There are those in the audience, I'm sure, this morning who have conceived in the heart the faith that is necessary, that ought to bring about obedience and ought to bring about that new birth of being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And I wish I knew this morning what to say and how to say it in a way to bring about the lifestyle change that needs to take place and the new births that need to take place even amongst us. Our lesson this morning is on the subject of lost in the woods. Some of us have had the experience of being lost in the W-O-O-D-S, but this morning we're talking about being lost in the W-O-U-L-D-S. David read one of the most difficult passages to read just a moment ago. Even an experienced reader with knowledge of the Bible has to pay close attention to read those verses in the right way, as he did. And two of those verses said, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." I want you to consider two statements this morning, and they are made up of the same words. The first statement is, "I would if I could." And the second statement is, "I could if I would." Have you ever noticed that almost every time the two words "I would" are used, they are followed with an if or a but? I would if, or I would but, and then an excuse follows that little word if or that little word but. And folks, I really, really believe that it is possible for us to get lost in the woods. For us to lose our souls because we live by the concept, "I would if." I would if I could. Where God is saying, "You could if you would." And wanting us to come to say, "I can and I will." I honestly believe that we face some of the greatest challenges and have some of the greatest opportunities that we've ever had in the work of the Lord. There is so much to be done. There are so many opportunities to do it, and we have so many talents to get it done. There are people who need to be taught here. There are people who need to be taught there in foreign places, other places. There are people who need to be visited, who need to be encouraged here. We probably have our mission work at an all-time high in our budget. We probably will use more this year in benevolence than we ever have before and did last year. When we take what's in the budget and what's done on a regular basis by so many in a personal way than we've ever done before, and the challenges before us this year are going to be great. When our new building is finished in a month or 6 weeks, and we're able to go into that and to do all the different activities to serve ourselves and to reach out to the community, we're going to have some of the greatest challenges that have ever been before us. And as we meet the responsibility of paying that debt, and as we make decisions about the second phase of our building program that has to do with the building of a large vestibule just behind us here, we're going to have some of the greatest challenges that have ever been before us. And whether or not we are successful will depend on where we put the would and the could in the sentence. I would if I could, but will cause us to fall flat on our faces. I could if I would, and usually and follows the word would in this sentence, I could if I would, and I will assure and ensure success in the work of the church, in our families, and in this community. I would if I could, but I could if I would, and which one is going to describe your attitude and your actions? Let's just let our minds wander for a few minutes through the Bible and look at some situations and plug them into the setting that I have just described. In Exodus chapters 3 and 4, beginning at about verse 10 in chapter 3 and going through the first few verses of chapter 4, we have the conversation between God and Moses relative to going down to Egypt and bringing his people out. God has said just in the verses before where I mentioned verse 10 that he remembers the promise that he's made to his people. And he comes to Moses and he says, Moses, it's time for my people to come out of Egypt and I'm going to send you down to bring them out. Moses says, now God, I would if I could. But you know they're not going to listen to me. God says, Moses, you could if you would because I'm going to be with you. But Moses comes back the second time and he says, now God, I would if I could, but I just don't know the proper authority to present to them and to convince them. Whose name am I going to say? And God says, Moses, you can if you will, because I am going to be with you. Moses comes back a third time. He says, now God, you know I would if I could. But listen, look at me. They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to follow me. God says, I'll be with you, and you could if you would. And then Moses comes back a fourth time. Moses says, now God, and you realize I'm paraphrasing, you know I would if I could, but I just can't talk well. I have trouble with my speech. Now God, I would if I could, but God says, Moses, you could if you would, and you can if you will, because I'm going to send Aaron with you, and he's going to talk for you, and I'm going to be with you. You're going to need everything. Moses was saying, in a sense, God, I would if I could. God says, Moses, you could if you would. And he finally convinced Moses that he could. And one of the most powerful statements that's in that chapter is, he went. He could if he would, and he did. But when he was making excuses, he was saying, oh, I would if, and I would but. Where would the children of Israel be today if God had not convinced Moses? Oh, we know God would have taken care of it some way. But if Moses had not been convinced, he would not have done what he did. He said, I would if I could. God says, you could if you would. And he convinced him, and he sent him. Let your mind come over into the New Testament for just a moment. Go to Luke 9, about verse 58 and 59. There are three people here that are described in the sense of either being or wanting to be disciples of Jesus. The first one is the one who seemingly almost had a blind faith. He said, oh, I'll follow you wherever you go. He didn't even count the cost because Jesus said to him, you need to stop and add things up and realize that the Son of Man doesn't even have where to lay his head. But look at the second one. Jesus said, come and follow me. And he said, now, Lord, I would if I could. But I've got to go bury my father. Jesus said, you could if you would, let the dead bury the dead. And he said to that third one there in this case, come and follow me. And that fellow says, now, Lord, you know I would if I could. But give me time to go and take care of my friends and bid them farewell at least. I even will later, and you know I would, but. And Jesus says, anybody that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of following me. These two fellows began to make excuse. And when Jesus said, come and follow me, they said, now, Lord, I would if I could, but. See how that little word but comes in? I would if I could, but. I've got to go take care of my father, and I've got to go bid my friends farewell. And Jesus says, no, that's not the situation. You could if you would put things in proper focus. Turn on over five chapters later, the 14th chapter of Luke, along about verse 15 in that general area. We have the story of the supper that was made, and people were invited, and three of them began to make excuse. The first one was a real estate broker. He said, I bought some land, and I've got to go praise it. He says, now, Lord, I would come to the supper, but I've got to go take care of my business and my property. The second one was either a farmer or a cattle trader. He had bought some oxen, and he says, now, Lord, I would come, but I've got some oxen, and I've got to take care of my business, you see, and I've got to go look at these and take care of them. And I appreciated the lesson that Brother David Light brought on a Wednesday night recently in pointing out some things about these, that these fellows were so far out with their excuses that it's apparent, their attitude, because who would buy land without praising it, and who would buy oxen without going to look at them before he buys them? And then that third fellow was the henpecked husband. Now he says, you know I would come if I could, but I've just got to take care of my wife. I've married a wife and I cannot come. Possessions, career, and family. And each one of them said, Lord, I would if I could, but. And the context of the story would show Jesus saying, you would if you could, you could if you would, but since you won't, we'll go out and invite some others. Go over into Acts 24. Paul preaches to Felix, reasons with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and accomplish something that I don't think I've ever accomplished with preaching. He caused him to tremble. But Felix said, in light of our lesson, now I would if I could, but I don't have a convenient season today. Let's wait until things are better. Let's wait until we have all the factors I want in the right way. Now I would if I could, but I just can't today. Let's wait for a convenient season. I don't know exactly what Paul said back to him, but he easily could have said, Felix, you could if you would. Because everything's been done that's necessary for you to be a Christian, and you could get out of this sinful life if you would, and you could become a Christian if you would. You could if you would. Two chapters later, he talks to Agrippa. And Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa says, oh, I would if I could, but I'm just not ready. And Paul comes back and says, I wish you were almost and altogether persuaded, or such as I am. In a sense, Agrippa was saying, now, Paul, I would if I could, but I just can't under the circumstances. And Paul was saying, Agrippa, you could if you would. Because everything has been done that is needed. Back up in the scripture just a moment to Matthew 23. This time Jesus is talking. He looks out over Jerusalem. This is in the setting where he's just criticized the scribes and Pharisees and pointed out to them what the true situation is. And he says in verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as the hen gathers her chickens or her little chicks under her wings, notice, and ye would not. In a sense, they, by their actions, were saying, oh, we would if we could. And Jesus indicates that they could. He says, I wanted to. I would have. I would have brought you to me. You could if you would. That's what Jesus is saying in that verse. You could have come to me if you would, but they would not. Whatever excuses they used, they would not come to Jesus. They could if they would, but they didn't. And then go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation at chapter 3, and look at verse 21. There's a woman there by the name of Jezebel. And I don't know to this day whether there's a real Jezebel here in this church of Asia Minor or whether it's use of the word of the Old Testament or the relationship to the Old Testament woman that was so wicked. But whatever the case is, there was some woman there in this particular church that was so wicked. She was even seducing others to commit fornication. And the Bible says that God gave her space, one version, another version says time. God gave her space or time to repent, and she repented not. She could if she would, but she didn't. And in a sense, God was saying to her through the power of the gospel, you could if you would. You could get out of this lifestyle, and you could alter your lifestyle if you would. And you could be a faithful Christian if you would, but she would not. And in a sense, might have made the excuse, oh, I would if I could, but I just can't change at this point. Which are you saying today? I wonder on Sunday morning if some of us don't get up and say, I would go to Bible study this morning if or but. And then we add an excuse. We may say, I would give more and I would visit more and I would do more in the Lord's service if. Oh, sometimes somebody says, if I had the time and money that other person, oh, I would do so much if. Or someone else approaches it like this, I would, but I just don't have the time, and I just don't have the money, and I just don't have the talent. Folks, we're going to be lost in the woods. I would if, and I would, but when God is looking us straight in the eye and saying, you could if you would, there's where the answer is. And what you and I have got to do is to come to the point of saying, I can and I will. And there's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you think Paul would have said at that point, I would if I could? No, Paul would have said, I could if I would, and I can and I will. I can do all things through Christ. Somehow or other, you and I have got to quit saying, I would if I could. And listen to God who says, you could if you would. And draw the conclusion, I can and I will. Come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.
God, dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within,
is thy heart right
with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does he each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Was washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Be seated, please. Number 137 will be the song before the Lord's Supper this morning. 137. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion. Then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this day, for this opportunity we have to gather here around this table. We want to give thanks for our Lord Jesus, for the life he lived, and for the great sacrifice he made for each one of us. At this time, as we partake of this Lord's Supper, and in particular this bread, we ask that you will be with each one of us, and we'll center our minds on the sacrifice he made and upon his broken body that was placed on the tree of Calvary. As we partake of this, help us to do so in a manner that will be pleasing in your sight. This is our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again we come to you giving thanks for Jesus, for this great sacrifice, and as we partake of this fruit of the vine, help us to focus on the blood that was shed for each one of us, that we might someday have eternal life with you. And again, we ask that you help us to partake of it in a way that will be acceptable in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the many material blessings you've given us, and we pray that you help us not